at the Yendi Hospital following reprisal attacks on Fulanis in Yendi last night. Our regional correspondent, Mutala Issa, who has been following the issue, now joins us on the line. Good afternoon, Mutala.
Good afternoon, TTK.
What provoked the attacks on the Fulanis in Yendi?
Now, a young man of about 24 years died from cutlass wounds last night from Yendi. He is believed to be a butcher. And according to a relative, this young man informed the brother that he has been invited to a village around Kuga to buy cattle for his butcher business. Later, they found this young man at about 6:30 p.m. He was found dead with cutlass wounds and his motorbike parked right in front of him. So there was a suspicion that this act was perpetrated by Fulanis who had invited him to the village to buy cattle, because his money, I'm told, wasn't found on him, and they made away with the money. So in reaction to that incident, the youth of Yendi mobilized and went on rampage. And they fished out every Fulani who could they could find within the vicinity of Yendi. They killed one. As we speak, I'm told a fourth person has just been taken to the hospital. And so we have four persons who are in critical condition at the Yendi hospital. One of them is dead, plus the butcher who was also killed. So we have two people who are dead as a result of that incident, and then four people are at the Yendi hospital receiving treatment.
Can you confirm this, that some people went to a police station in Yendi, pulled out suspects or someone who's gone there to take refuge and drag the person away? Can you confirm this?
Well, this is what an eyewitness in Yendi is telling me, but the police have been tight-lipped on this question. I have asked questions of from the police, and nobody seems to be telling us about this. But someone was within that area, and he told me that he witnessed this incident. However, as we speak now, just this morning, a Fulani man had run into one of the households in Yendi, and they called the police. They came for that young man, and as we speak, he's currently seeking refuge at the Yendi police station. So he's very, very safe there. But within the Yendi township, you cannot find any other Fulani, apart from those who are on admission at the hospital, and then this one who is under police protection at the police station. Fulanis within the township have all vanished. And the youth are threatening that if they find any Fulani within the Yendi municipality, they will deal with him. I must also indicate that the police patrol has increased within the Yendi municipality from about 8 a.m. today. They've increased their presence in town, and then every now and then you will find a police vehicle moving in and out from across the corners of Yendi.
So would I be right in saying that the situation in Yendi, as we speak, is calm?
It is calm, however, with some level of apprehension, because there are fears that if they find any Fulani inside, they may deal with him. I've been speaking with people within the town, and some of them are even concerned that some youth may follow up into communities where Fulanis are to take care of, to deal with them, as they have been saying. And they are asking the police to increase protection for these Fulanis who are in villages. You know, mostly they do not settle in the larger community. They live in isolated places with their cattle. TTK, I must say that what is worsening this situation is that within the northern region, almost every week we hear of armed robbery. And eyewitnesses will swear heaven and earth that the perpetrators are Fulani, people of Fulani extraction. So there is some considerable level of suspicion of the Fulani people within this region. People see them as criminals. They see them as armed robbers. However, there was a time I had to visit some Fulani villages to speak with them. And they tell me, look, we are cattle herd people. All we do here is take care of our cattle, and we don't engage in robbery. One of their chiefs, however, conceded to me some time back that there are key elements within them who are working with other people within the region to perpetrate these sort of crimes. And he's ever ready that if they find anyone who is dealing in such criminal activity, the law should deal with them. However, the laws have not been, the law enforcement agencies have not been helping, because armed robbery incidents within the region are on the increase. Every week, there is an armed robbery incident, and the people are beginning to relate these robbery cases to Fulanis, and it is not helping matters.
Thank you very much, Mutala. Thank you. That was our Northern Regional Correspondent, Mutala Issa. We've been making efforts to get in touch with the police in the Northern Region for a chat on this particular issue, but we've not been very successful so far. We will do so if and when we get them.
A group Kweu Youth for Social Development has called for the deployment of more police personnel to communities in Kweu, where Fulanis are resident. President of the group, Solomon Tete, told Radio Ghana that the presence of the police is necessary to prevent the recurrence of clashes between Fulani herdsmen and indigens. He spoke to Bubu Klinogo.
These Fulani herdsmen, when you are attacking any of them, you are definitely going to lose. So what we can do is that let's try and then create a rapport with them. Even though they are destroying our farmland, let's create a rapport with them so that we'll be able to know their employers. If you are able to identify their employers, then now we are not going to attack the Fulani herdsmen themselves. We are sending our anger directly to their employers and not the Fulani herdsmen. Because when you attack the Fulani herdsmen, their resources, the kind of arms they have, most of our security personnel, they don't have this kind of arms that the Fulani herdsmen have. So you ask yourself, where did they get all these arms? Where did they get all these arms? They are also very intelligent that they strike usually in the night that they know that everyone is vulnerable. There is no security personnel around. That is when they strike. And at the end of the day, they are definitely going to win. When you go to the communities like Drebiase, Oboyan number 1 and 2, Sheshemiaso, all those communities are almost empty. People have to plead for their lives.
Is it the case that the police and the other security services are not able to protect you?
Yes, the security we have now, even as this issue started, on Thursday, when the Fulani herdsmen strike in the night, we tried to reach some of the police personnel. They told us point blank that, look, brothers, we have the interest to come and protect you, but we don't have the resources. These Fulani herdsmen, they are armed, a security personnel, and then you are not resourced. You don't have what it takes to go and then face these Fulani herdsmen who have AK-47 and the like. You will definitely sleep, even though you have the edge to go and protect the citizens. So this is the issue. Now, as we speak, I think the situation is quite calm. It's quite calm. But then we have about 80 police personnel on the ground. But still, I think it's not enough.
President of Kweu Youth for Social Development, Solomon Tete, talking to Bubu Klinogo.
Still on security issues, security has been beefed up in communities in Kweu East District, where 8 people have lost their lives in an attack by Fulani herdsmen. Public Relations Officer of the Eastern Regional Police Command, ASP Ebenezer Tete, said the police hierarchy has met with the chiefs and opinion leaders of the affected communities to reassure them of their safety. ASP Tete said 2 people are currently receiving treatment at the hospital following gunshot wounds they sustained. Meanwhile, no arrests have been made yet.
We have deployed police officers to the ground now. So the last time I checked, the place was calm. The police officers are going about patrolling the various areas that those tragic incidents happened. We are talking about Jebiase, Abunyam, Mpiemu, Fifi, and then all the other communities. But these unfortunate deaths were recorded. As we speak now, we have so far recorded 8 deaths. Some of the bodies have been identified, and the bodies have been deposited at the mortuary at the TPA pending autopsy. So we wait for the identification of the rest. So that's what I can tell you for now.
And have you made any arrests as to those who perpetrated this crime?
Unfortunately, no. This is because the tragedy, as we all called it, most of them occurred in the bushes in Gebiase, Abonyam, and then Mpimu communities within the Abetifi or the Kwau East District area. The support of the town folks in those areas that I've mentioned is being enlisted by the police so that they can support us by way of information. Whilst our team of crime scene management officers from TID Accra also take the bits and pieces of evidence from the various scenes of crime, try and reconstruct and connect both to the Dastardly Act.
Right, you rightly indicated that most of these crimes occurred in the night, and that is what is sending shivers down the spine of the residents. And the report we are getting is that they are fleeing in town because they don't know where the next attack is coming.
We have a strong police presence on the ground, both from the Eastern Regional Police Headquarters and from the National Headquarters. Actually, the Dastardly operations, Commissioner of Police, Dr. George Kudampari, was on the ground, and we held a series of meetings with the town folks and with the chiefs, opinion leaders, and some of these issues came up. And they have been assured and they've been told that the police presence on the ground is just do just that. So listen to their sides. We have assured them and we are continuing to do so. We have promised most of the people that because the incidents were happening in farms and other places that are far away from most of the town, and it is making it difficult for the perpetrators to be identified, we will ensure that even if it means trying to provide some form of security for them whilst they go to their farms, we do so because we are there to ensure that life and property as well as the lives of the people are safeguarded. So that is our mandate, and we are there to do that. It's rather unfortunate that over the years, some of these series of meetings and consultations between chiefs, cattle owners, security personnel and the Fulani herdsmen themselves to resolve the conflict have failed to yield the needed results.
You heard the Eastern Regional Police PRO, ASP Ebenezer Tete.
Security analyst Adib Sani is advocating the creation of an exclusive zone for Fulani herdsmen to graze their cattle. This, in his view, will help eliminate clashes that occur between the herdsmen and indigents of certain communities. Mr. Sani is also calling for more engagement between indigents and the Fulanis. His comments followed renewed clashes between Fulani herdsmen and some indigents in Kwewu as well as Yendi, which left a number of people dead. He spoke with Bubu Klinogo.
The Fulanis are mostly herdsmen, and they move whenever the weather changes and the environment changes, they move along with it. And it is very normal to have them come from other parts of the continent all the way to Sub-Saharan Africa in search of greener pastures for their herd. But that notwithstanding, I think this is an issue that has come to stay, and it's a developmental issue. We should adopt certain pragmatic approaches towards at least managing it, because they come in contact with indigenous tribes, and they might disagree on an issue or two. And one of the best ways we can deal with the situation is to enforce the laws, because there are many people in many communities across the length and breadth of the country who feel the security agencies have left them to their fate, because this is not the first time it's happening, and not much is done in terms of arrest and proper investigation and prosecution. So the people feel nobody is protecting them. So the best way they can go about it is to protect themselves. So first of all, I think the security agencies would have to get back the confidence of the people, and the right investigations would have to be done so we see them doing their work in terms of arresting and prosecuting those who, as it were, take the law into their own hands. Second, I think there's a need for more engagement with the stakeholders involved in all these. The chiefs, the people would have to, as it were, be made to understand that we are governed by certain international conventions of free movement. So it will be quite impossible, as it were, to prevent them completely from coming into the country, as we'll be violating certain ECOWAS protocols, and that would result in other countries taking retaliatory actions against the country. Because I've heard a number of Ghanaians say, look, let's prevent them from coming into the country. Let's kick them out of the country. I don't think it is a scientific way to go about it. The people would have to be engaged, would have to engage leaders of the Fulani communities, leaders of indigents, of course, in those communities across the country. By so doing, I'm sure we should be able to reconcile their differences. They should be able to bargain. They should be able to, as it were, meet halfway. So whoever is amongst them and is causing trouble, they would willingly give the person out so the clock takes its course.
Mr. Sani said it is not right to stereotype all Fulanis as criminals. Rather, there should be more engagement to promote coexistence in the communities.
The Fulanis are here to stay, and there's absolutely nothing intrinsically wrong with employing the services of a Fulani. And I find it also distasteful, the fact that we have many of us painting all Fulanis with a single stroke of brush because of the actions and inactions of a few. I mean, in every ethnic group, we definitely have some bad nuts, and it's quite normal. But to think all Fulanis are criminals and so they shouldn't be engaged, I think it's quite worrying. But like I indicated, there's a need for more engagement between the indigenous communities and the first men, so there will be peaceful coexistence.
So can you work in a way that probably restricted areas are created for the Fulanis, where they probably have to rear their cattle and the rest so that they don't stray to other areas?
So one of the suggestions that came up some time ago, because Ghana is not the only country that is experiencing this issue of Fulani herdsmen. In Burkina Faso, in Ivory Coast, and even in Nigeria, and they have created certain corridors for them, especially in Nigeria. When they come in with the herds, this is where they are going to go through up until they get to the coastal area. I think that would, to a very large extent, help, because the problem is many of the indigenous communities complain of the cattle going to onto their farmlands and destroying crops. But I think if they have that corridor, that specific corridor allocated to them, it would help. And whoever is caught grazing on farmlands or anywhere outside the corridor area would have to be prosecuted.
You heard security analyst Adip Sani talking to Bubu Klino.